sun is the center of the earth. Hour 3, Triple Option with RBKD. We got Rod Babers. We got Brad Kellner. I'm Kevin Dunn. Two in and an hour and a half to go because we've got Texas basketball, which is getting the season started. Should be a fun year. They return virtually everyone. Definitely all the minutes and points, and they add Greg Brown. So should be fun to watch that and listen to that. It'll be 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip right here on the Horn. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline, and let's do a little bit of picking against the spread. It's Dave Paul, one of the owners of Pluckers. It is Beat the Pluck time. Dave, you destroyed me last week. It was embarrassing. Not only was I awful, but you really nailed it. So you're kind of gaining some momentum. With the win this week, you will tie up the season series. I'm guessing you're feeling pretty confident right now.
I mean, hey, if I can win this week and then win the next couple of weeks, you know, that's the goal, right? I mean, you want to beat the Pluck, but yeah, I want to win the season.
Yeah, well, I want to make sure that we get our listeners some more wings. Pluckers, obviously a great spot to go watch the game on Friday. You got 7 locations here in the Austin area, so get to Pluckers.com to find out more about them. Get to HornFM.com to sign up for Beat the Pluck. That's where if I do beat Dave, hopefully I can get back on the right track. That means we're going to be giving away 10 $25 gift cards to the best wing restaurant in Austin. Of course, that is Pluckers. Okay, we were going to start off with Oklahoma and West Virginia, but that thing has been canceled. I guess I'll just throw it out there quickly. Did you have a pick on that one?
The 10.5 was tough. I was kind of leaning towards Oklahoma. I probably would have taken them, I think, by about 14.
Yeah, Oklahoma was favored as by 10.5 on that, but that game has been postponed. So we've got 5 games to choose from. Let's start in the SEC. We've got LSU at Texas A&M. You've been more right about A&M in terms of the line this year than I have. Aggies are favored by 14. They've had a little bit of time off. LSU's coming off the win against Arkansas. They maybe have found their new quarterback. You going to lay 14 with the Aggies at home here?
It sounds like a lot, but I really think A&M's vying for that 4th playoff spot. I think they're a solid team. I think this is Jimbo's year to finally get them into the playoff. LSU has been up and down all season. Their pass defense is miserable. Mons got 14 touchdowns and a couple interceptions. And I just think A&M's on the right track, and I think A&M covers this game by probably 17 to 21.
All right. I really wanted to take LSU in this thing. They've been an up-and-down team all year long, so if they lose, they can come back and win. And as I said, maybe they did find their quarterback, T.J. Finley. He's coming off a 271-yard, 2-touchdown day in that win over Arkansas. I just feel like they've lost too many people, and I trust this A&M team. They look good defensively. They look fast. I'm going to go with you on that. I'm going to take the Aggies to cover this thing. BK, we'll start with you. LSU at A&M, Aggies a 14-point favorite. Where
Man,
are you going?
I don't have a great feel on this game. I want to pick A&M, and style points are going to matter a lot for the Aggies over these final couple of regular season games, right, because they're likely not going to have an opportunity in a conference championship game to show their stuff to the playoff committee. So they need to win out, and they need to win out convincingly to have a shot. But they haven't played in a while, which concerns me a little bit. LSU has had their number for the most part since the Aggies joined the SEC. I am going to go A&M. I don't feel great about this pick, but I'll pick them in that 14 to 17 range, so I do think they barely cover against the Tigers.
Rob, we've talked all year the SEC feels like the old Big 12. No one's playing defense. Well, the Aggies are playing defense. Yeah. They lead the SEC in time of possession, lead the nation in third down conversions, but they're the best in the conference in tackles for loss and total defense. You going to join us and go with A&M to cover 14?
Yeah, I'm on the bandwagon, man. I think the Aggies are legit, and they're the real deal, and not only that, I think BK hit the nail on the head. They know they have to win,
yeah,
and they have to win, you know, in a commanding fashion, right? They have to show some style points, so I think they'll try their best to run it up, relatively speaking. So I think they'll hit that line, they'll hit the number.
All right, let's go to the Big Ten, Maryland at Indiana, and Maryland I really wanted to see what Maryland looked like against Ohio State, and I guess their win early on this year, I believe that was Penn State, that's kind of losing a little bit of shine because of where Penn State is. But Indiana, they're not losing anything, not losing any shine, even their loss to Ohio State, they're getting a lot of national love. I guess I'm on the Tom Allen bandwagon. He's a defensive guy. They got Michael Penix, the lefty who's flinging it around. I think Indiana, who is favored by 11.5 at home against Maryland, will cover this. Dave, I'm finally on board. You joining me?
I've told you every week I love Indiana.
I know.
Tom Allen, 11-1 as a home favorite. Maryland, I mean, you look, they're 2-1, but you look at the teams they've played, normally you'd think a win over Minnesota and Penn State would mean something, but they lost by 40 to Northwestern on the road, and I don't think Loxley's got enough talent, besides maybe at the quarterback position, to hang with Indiana. Indiana's just too solid at this point. I like them to cover as well.
Rod, I expect Maryland, like they've done, and we know this here in Austin, they can come out and kind of hit you with some spurts and score, and I expect this thing to actually be entertaining early, but I'm buying Indiana. As Dave said, he's been on them and won some money with them all year long. What about this one? We've got 11.5 Indiana favorites.
Yeah, Indiana creates a ton of pressure, probably creates more pressure than anybody in the Big Ten not named Ohio State.
Right.
And I'm with you. I think that they actually have some playmakers on both sides of the ball. Big fan of their head coach. I think Indiana's, I think they got some confidence. They're playing with confidence. Obviously, going against Ohio State's a different monster altogether. But even early in
that
game,
they gained confidence with that.
I say early in that game that they were playing themselves in it. So I'll take Indiana to cover.
BK?
Y'all hear that?
Yeah.
That's another Maryland Jet sweep.
Oh, you had to bring that up.
Coming out this weekend. I'm picking Maryland. I have no idea why. I'm putting my faith in a little Tua. I think he plays well, and I think this could be kind of a letdown game for Indiana just because of all that they invested in that trip to the Horseshoe last weekend. They fought hard. This could be a little bit of a slip up. I think they're going to win at home, but something tells me Maryland's going to find a way to keep this one entertaining, and it's been a while since they've played. I know they've been chomping at the bit to get out there, so I'll pick Maryland to cover that 11.5.
Yeah, their offense has been good. Their D is dead last in the Big Ten, so I want to see if that Indiana run game can really get going. It's Beat the Pluck. Get to hornfm.com to sign up to become one of my wingmen. Get to pluckers.com to find one of the 7 locations in the Austin area. We got people listening all over the state, so be a lot of cooking this week. You're going to get sick of it at some point, and get on out there, bring the family out there and enjoy it, or you can pick up. Let's go to the SEC, back to the SEC. Auburn at Alabama, the Iron Bowl. It sounds like this is legit this time, that Nick Saban did test positive and that he's going to have to sit this one out. Alabama, a 24.5 point favorite. Dave, Auburn's won 2 out of the last 3. You're going to lay that many points?
I think I normally like to pick dogs in general, but I think this is a revenge situation for Bama. They lost last year, what was it, like 48-45. I don't like that Saban's out, but, I mean, they look amazing on offense. Auburn, Nick's is good at home, but he is not good on the road. And the Tide, I think, all that adds up for the Tide, I think, for a 31-35-point victory.
Whoa, okay. 24, I didn't know if the hook, sometimes the hook can get you with that half. And I'm going to go with Auburn on this. So this will be the first one that we differ on. You know, Bo Nix is not playing great. You're right about that. But he failed to hit 50% of his passes in 3 of those first 4 games. But he's been over 70% in the last 3 games. I feel like the offense is coming along. I'll take Alabama to win this thing. But 24.5 is just too much for me. BK, where are you going?
Congratulations to Dave Paul for another win.
Oh, no.
You're picking against Bama. Come on,
it's 24.5. I'm not picking it straight up.
It could be 44.5, and I think I'd still pick Bama. The revenge factor is there, no question about it. Alabama's just rolling teams right now. Mm-hmm. Auburn's lucky to be 5-2, and when I say that, I don't mean, oh, they've gotten a couple of breaks. I mean, literally 2 game-changing calls by SEC officials went their way, in which the SEC actually had to come out and say, oops, we got these calls wrong. And they would have lost those 2 football games if they didn't get those calls. So I don't think Auburn's very good. I don't think Bo Nix is very good. Alabama's been dominating everybody as of late. Roll Tide.
Rod, you've been in games, Texas A&M, where you guys were favored a lot. This is a rivalry game. Auburn kids have faith. They've won 2 out of the last 3. I agree with these guys that Alabama's a much better team, but 24.5?
I know.
In a rivalry game?
I think it's too big for a rivalry game, too. I'm with you. It's not sitting well with me. Is Nick Saban going to be out for this game because of
Nick's
COVID?
Out.
Everything is screaming pick Auburn in this game.
I know. Me too. That's why I'm picking them.
Roll damn Tide. I'm going with Bama, man. It's a new Bama team with the offense and Mac Jones. I'm going with Bama. Everything is telling me I should go Auburn, but I'm going with Bama. I like your pick, though. I like your pick.
All right. Well, right now, that's going to be the difference maker. So hopefully people that are trying to win some wings agree with that pick, and we'll see if that comes through. We've got two more to go here. Notre Dame at North Carolina. Notre Dame is a 4.5-point favorite. North Carolina's been a weird team this year. They're really talented. I like their dynamic duo in the backfield. I think those guys, as a duo, are as good as anyone in the country. I'm not totally sold on the the whole team in general, and I think he's got this program moving in the right direction. I like Sam Howell. I like some individual pieces, but I'm going to take Notre Dame to go ahead and cover this 4.5. Where are you leaning, Dave?
I feel the same way. I think North Carolina's got a great offense. I mean, Howell's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. They've got a good running game, but they're not strong on defense. And that's where Notre Dame has a huge advantage. I think Ian Book has been solid the last couple weeks. I think they've played Clemson, so they trust themselves. I think 4.5 is not enough points against Notre Dame at this point in the season if you're North Carolina with their defense.
Rod, ND or NC in this one? Irish favored by 4.5.
ND, that offensive line can control the game. I know Sam Howell's got some big playability. Those two running backs from North Carolina are really impressive.
They're good.
But I think North Carolina, I think ultimately they'll be overwhelmed by the line of scrimmage play by Notre Dame. That's what sets them apart, is that on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, Notre Dame can play with the elite this year.
They can. Defensively, they're pretty good. That's where I love that matchup, Notre Dame's defense against the North Carolina offense. Where are you going here, BK?
Wrong team favored, gentlemen.
Ooh. Oh, whoa.
We need some chaos in the college football season.
Okay.
There hasn't been enough non-COVID chaos to this point.
I picked with that theory last week and had it help me.
Yeah, not well. And I don't feel good about this at all. But something has to happen, right? It feels like we're on a collision course with Notre Dame and Clemson in the ACC championship game. And it also feels like we already have our four teams kind of set in stone for the college football playoff. 2020 has been too weird of a year for chalk to occur. So I'm going to give this one to Mac Brown, man. I think he pulls off the upset. He nearly had Clemson last year in what was a huge shock. This one would be a pretty big shock. I'm going with the Tar Heels at home to hand Notre Dame its first loss of the season.
Big weekend for me as a Notre Dame and Texas fan. Got the Irish and North Carolina and also Iowa State and Texas. And all four of us Texas grads will definitely be into that one. Don't forget, that's an 11 a.m. kick. 7 a.m. we'll get the pregame started. Pluckers would be a great spot to go watch that game. It is my favorite spot if I'm not at the stadium to watch Texas sports and certainly Texas football. So Iowa State comes in. This line has kind of changed a little bit. Texas favored by 1.5 when I put this together last night, but some sites have it as a pick 'em right now, Dave. You know, looking at Tom Herman and what he's done against the spread at home the last five isn't very impressive, but Matt Campbell hasn't been very good either. I'm not sure trends will really help out with this pick. Who you taking? Iowa State at Texas.
I never liked the Horns as a favorite, and Iowa State, I think, is a more solid team top to bottom. Herman is 3-10 as a Big 12 home favorite, and Iowa State is 16-6 over the past few years under Campbell as a Big 12 dog. If the line was 1.5 for Iowa State, I might feel differently, but I think you can't put Iowa State in an underdog position against this Texas defense, especially on the pass defense. Hardy playing up and down, but he's been playing better lately.
All right, we need a final score on that because that'll be our tiebreaker too.
I'm going to say it's Iowa State 28-21.
28-21. All right. I've been back and forth with this. I do really think this is a pick 'em, and I think it's interesting. You got these two quarterbacks that everyone was looking at before the season, myself included, and thought these are going to be the two best quarterbacks in the Big 12. Which one of those guys is going to play better? I'm not sold on either offensive line. Which one can hold up and actually maybe create some holes for Hall and hopefully a lot for Robinson? I'm going to take Texas on this, and I think that Texas, especially defensively, their run defense has gotten so good. It's gotten a hell of a lot better. The safeties are helping out. And Iowa State, where you can really get Texas, is on the edge and really on the perimeter with their bad cornerback play. And I'm not sure Iowa State's going to be able to do that. I think this is a good matchup for Texas. I like the Horns to cover and to win. And I'm also with you. I think it's going to be more of a low-scoring game. I'm going to go Texas. I guess I'll add a little bit more to that. I'm going to go Texas 30, Iowa State 24 as my final. All right, Rod, BK, you're up next here. You're going to be the ultimate pessimist and take Iowa State to win by two touchdowns?
No, I'm leaning Texas in this football game, and I think more of it has to do with Iowa State than has to do with Texas. Every time Iowa State gets to this spot, whether it's under Matt Campbell or whether it's before Matt Campbell, They always fold, man. They crumble in situations like this. We saw it firsthand in 2018 when these two teams played in a de facto Big 12 semifinal game here in Austin. I like the matchup points that you brought up. I do think there are some favorable matchup advantages for Texas in this football game. But I just think we're going to see what we've seen out of Brock Purdy for the majority of the season. I don't know if he's going to be consistent on Friday. And Mike Rose being a little bit banged up also could benefit Texas as well. So I'm leaning Texas by a field goal right now, I guess.
Rod, you've been leaning Texas since I talked to you, I guess, Monday.
Yeah.
And you and I have kind of been on the same page on that, that we just think the matchups are good. BK's there. Are you still there? Are you still taking Texas to cover by 1.5 in this?
Yeah, the more I study the matchup, I think it's just a good matchup for Texas overall. I'm not saying it's an easy matchup at all, but I do think there are enough factors that really kind of slant the advantage towards Texas. So I'll take Texas. I'll take Texas to cut. Well, I mean, the line is like with
it's
two.
It's 1.5.
So, yeah, I'll take Texas to win.
No question. All right. Dave, we've had a good time with this. It's been really competitive. So I do hope that I'm up 7-5 after this weekend and we can give away some free wings. But if people just want wings in general, I know for people that are cooking during the holidays, but also, I mean, leftovers are great, but at some point you need something different. So you guys got anything set up or anything different in terms of hours for the weekend?
No different hours, but this is always a big weekend for us. Just like you said, after Thursday, everybody wants to get out. Even with COVID, we've been pretty busy the last few weeks. So I'm sure watching football Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is going to be a good time at Pluckers.
One more thing. We know you're a Georgia fan. JT Daniels came on strong. You feeling better about that? I know it may be a wash in terms of you guys definitely making the playoffs, but it seemed like he kind of sparked the offense.
I think they ran for 6 yards, so I don't care about his 400-plus passing. I mean, the team seems completely in disarray. Very disappointing season. I mean, it's good that they found a quarterback for the future, but if you can't run the ball in the SEC against Mississippi State, you're going to be in big trouble down the line.
Dave, we love the partnership. We love Pluckers. You guys have a great Thanksgiving, all right?
Y'all too. Thanks.
That is Dave Paul. Thanks, to Pluckers.com and get to HornFM.com if you would like to sign up to become a wingman. Well, a lot of people are going to be taking some trips. Maybe taking a trip to, I know some people going to Houston, Dallas. You obviously want to be safe. You want to make sure that your car, truck, or SUV is as safe as possible. And that's where Apple Leasing can really help you out. You can just pick. You can start with safety. And lots of people have done that. Or you can start with a make and a model or a price. Get to AppleLeasing.com. They've got reps on the lower right-hand side. So if you've got any specific questions, maybe a detailed questions or kind of a customized lease in mind, fire away. If you've got a trade-in, that's going to help out. You can calculate that trade-in on the website, or you can just call them. It's 512-346-9977. 512-346-9977 or appleleasing.com.
All right, Rod B., your rant of the day coming up. What you got for the people?
We're going to talk Texas, Iowa State. Been doing some deep diving. Still doing deep diving. Short week, so still doing some deep diving and breaking down the matchup. But I do think I have some keys to victory for the Longhorns on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. Hopefully Tom Herman and his staff are listening because I think I might have the keys to victory on the other side. And Rod's rant of the day right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9 and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Bro, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's rant of the day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out here with Kevin Dunn and Brad Kellner, and time for Rod's rant of the day. I should start on the offensive side of ball. The offense is actually a quicker rant for me. I want to give some keys to victory for the Longhorns based on my film study and my breakdown on both sides of the ball for Texas versus Iowa State. I'll start on the offensive side of ball because I think it's easier. And I tweeted this out yesterday, and we were talking about it yesterday too. The easiest way for Texas to fix their offensive issues is pretty simple. It's just by putting their most explosive players on the field all together, all at the same time. That's the easiest way to fix what's going on right now with the offense. They just lack explosivity. They lack continuity, and they can't get in a groove or a rhythm. Putting your best players on the field, being able to move the chains, get positive yardage, stay ahead of the chains consistently, that will help Texas. And Bijan Robinson, as we've talked about, he's a big part of that. I do think Bijan Robinson will reach his career high in touches, as BK's mentioned, as a true freshman. I mean, it's at 14, so it's not going to be that life-altering if he gets more than 14. But I do think he'll get to 16, 17, maybe even 20 touches. That would be crazy. That alone, gentlemen, will make the Texas offense a lot better. I pointed out these stats before, but they're worth going over again. Last three games, Bijan Robinson generating an explosive play every 5.8 touches, averaging an explosive rush every 6.1 rushes. That's either a 15-yard pass reception or a 10-yard rush. He's also averaging 6.1 yards per carry in the last 3 weeks, along with 6.7 yards per touch in the last 3 weeks. So you get the guy the ball, he's an explosive threat, and there's no doubt about it. At this point, he's separated himself from the rest of the running backs. I mean, Jeff Howe's been doing a great job talking about this on the Blitz and also on Light the Tower. Bijan Robinson has recorded 5 of the offense's 38 plays of 20 yards or more on the season. That is more than Roschon Johnson and Keontae Ingram combined, which, yeah, they both have 2 on the season. He's got 5 already. Gentlemen, he hadn't been playing that much, as you guys know.
Yeah.
And those guys have played more, and yet he's been more productive with the carry. I think right now they're getting close to being split because everybody's missed time because of injuries. They're probably getting close to all having the same amount of carries. I think Bijan actually leads Texas in carries right now with 51.
How about this?
Doesn't he?
They are so close.
Oh, they are that
but
close?
But Bijan is third.
So oh,
Keontae's
okay.
got 53, all Rojo's right. got 52, and Bijan's got 51.
Okay.
So that's all right there.
So Bijan should, if he's not the leading rusher of the Longhorns by the end, in terms of attempts by the end of this game, then we should all be upset.
We riot.
We riot, right? We riot.
And by the way,
at all.
Sam has 90, because the best play we had was backyard football.
For most of the season, he was your best rusher.
Yeah,
he was your best rusher until Bijan actually started to flourish. But going back to that, he's all about explosive play. Bijan Robinson has twice as many explosive plays in the last 3 weeks as any player on the Texas roster, not named Sam Ehlinger, to Katie's point. So that alone, gentlemen, I know it sounds crazy, but that alone will help. I love the stat, my man. I'll give my man Matt Butler credit for it. Right now, Bijan Robinson averaging, gentlemen, 3.94 yards after contact per carry, which is just a freaky, freaky stat. He's got 294 rushing yards, and I believe 204 of those 294 rushing yards are after contact.
That'll win you a doke if you get enough carries.
He's just, he's one of those guys, man. He's just a freak. So I think him getting the ball more, and you're right, actually, I'll give that stat because Matt Buller actually did the deep diving. Deontay Foreman in his Doak Walker winning season, he averaged 3.54 yards after contact per carry. So that's such, you know, the class that Bijan is in. By the way, Breece Hall, 3.9 yards after contact per carry. Bijan actually averaging right now more yards after contact per carry than Breece Hall, the nation's leading rusher. It's saying, that boy good.
So we've got a Doak Walker battle between Bijan and Breece Hall, huh?
Just saying, he's got that kind of talent. That's all we're saying. I'm not saying he's there yet, but man, he's got a ton of that kind of talent. Mm-hmm. So this is what I thought about last night after we had the discussion about all those guys being on the field at the same time. More Bijan, and then you're getting got Jordan Whittington back healthy, Jake Smith back healthy. Those guys have not all been available since the UTEP game. So it actually has not, it's been an impossibility for the coach to even envision this type of scenario. But having Jordan Whittington, Jake Smith, and Bijan Robinson, and Jared Wiley, KD, on the field, among your most explosive players at those positions available, and whoever you prefer. BK's probably a Josh Moore guy. I don't know. KD, maybe you're a Brandon Eagles guy. I don't know. It depends. Whoever you want to put on there with that group, that's fine.
Either about Kai or, Money?
You know what? Put Kai Money out there. I don't care. With that group, I don't know if it'll matter much. My point is this, and this is something I've been talking about for a while now, and you guys know I've been passionate about it. Imagine that group, right? You're talking about that explosivity on the field. Jordan Whittington, Jake Smith, Bijan Robinson. We just talked about that. Jared Wiley, we've talked about all year long. Also been one of your most explosive weapons at the tight end position. So imagine all that. And Josh Moore or Brendan Eagles. But imagine it in empty. And I've been talking about the empty success for the Longhorns on offense for a while. And that's empties with no running backs in the backfield, just no skill players in the backfield at all. Just everybody lined up as a receiver across the board. The Longhorns, after last week's game, after I charted that, numbers went down a little bit because they didn't run empty as much as they should have, but it's okay. The Longhorns on the season now are averaging, gentlemen, 9.18 yards per pass in their empty formation. They're averaging 8.85 yards per play in empty formation. They're averaging an explosive play, which is a 15-yard pass or a 10-yard run, or a touchdown. Every 4.8 plays out of empty. So, doesn't matter. Touchdown, explosive play, doesn't matter. Every 4.8 plays, they get a touchdown or an explosive play. And they're converting 44% of their third and fourth downs in empty. All of those numbers are, of course, better than what they would normally average in their just normal offense. And I even took it a step further and went deep diving. If you take out the empty formations period, the Longhorns are averaging 5.6 yards per play. In empty formation, they're averaging 8.8 yards per play. This is on the season. If you exclude empty, take empty out of the equation, they're averaging a touchdown every 16.8 plays. And out of empty, they're averaging a touchdown every 4.8 plays. Mm. Obviously, numbers can be manipulated to a certain extent, but I'm trusting you, this is a sample size over the entire season. Now, imagine the players I just talked about, the Jordan Whittingtons, the Jake Smith, Bijan Robinson, the Jared Wiley, Josh Moore or Brendan Eagles, I don't care. Take your pick. And imagine their explosive potential in your most explosive offensive personnel package and formation. And do that against Iowa State.
Sounds like maximizing.
Sounds like maximizing. Now, Texas right now averages, in conference play, they're averaging 5 empty plays per game. And on the season is 4.8 empty plays per game. I would say double that. Give me the 10. If you give me the 10 empty plays, empty formation plays per game, I guarantee you you'll probably end up getting double the amount of explosive plays and double the amount of touchdowns. And on third, it's so crazy. They have 3 third down drops out of empty formation alone. Jake Smith's got one. Jordan Whittington's got one. Marcus Washington's got one randomly. If not for those 3 drops, their third down conversion rate, guys, would be like close to the 80s. Like, it'd be unbelievable what they'd be doing if not for those 3 third down drops. And by the way, they actually love to run it on third down.
I was going to say, I remember the West Virginia game on a lot of third downs, especially third
downs. It was all third downs. Mm-hmm. It was all third downs. And by the way, Tariq Black drop pass, empty formation.
Yeah.
On third down deep.
One in the sun. Or
there
whatever
was a third and two. They ran shallow crossers, the mesh concept.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Smith and Josh Moore run into each other again. Yeah. Like they do every game. He ran Ranger, and Sam was like, oh, damn. And Sam had to tuck it and run.
Hey, they need more reps, right?
You're right.
To be causing that for the secondary.
But no, BK's right. If they had more reps together, they would be able to master that concept. They haven't because, you know, it's chaos for those guys a lot of the time. So you start looking, and Brandon Schooler has one third. You remember the fourth down conversion Texas failed to convert early on? They had a Schooler reception right before it was actually 3rd and 7.
We're talking West Virginia here?
Talking about the West Virginia game. 3rd and 7. Brendan Schooler runs right before the sticks. He catches the ball and gets a 6-yard reception on 3rd and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to go for it on 4th and 1.
And
they don't convert.
Hurry up, no huddle.
And they don't convert.
And they don't convert.
And it's like, well, imagine you had Jordan Whittington or Jake Smith out there in that role running that route instead of Brendan Schooler. They probably get the first down instead of you having to get the fourth and then it being turnover on downs. Right? It's just like the drops, it's just small little Tariq Black dropping that pass. Like, it's just small little things. That if you had your better players in those positions, in those situations, you would probably, or Josh Moore and Jake Smith with more reps so they don't run into each other on the shallow crosser.
But it's not scheme, it's the personnel in that scheme.
It's more the personnel to me. That's why I think the offense actually will, I think it'll be reinvigorated because I think you'll have healthier personnel. And also envision, all those threats across the board, right? The empty formation, the stats I just gave you. But Sam Ellinger, a fresh Bam Bam Sam as a dual threat. So they can't just cover everybody because they also got to keep a spy in there because Sam may just quarterback draw you to death.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're actually one-on-one on the outside because they got to keep up one in the boxes for your plus one in the running game because you still got one even though you're empty with 5 wides. Oh, I'm just getting really excited thinking about it. Hopefully that's something we see. And it ain't too far out of the realm of possibility because they have run empty formation. And all it is just putting all those weapons on the field at once, which they haven't had a chance to do so far this year. If they get the chance to do it, maybe we'll see Coach Herman do the right thing. All right, let's talk about defense real quick. I am actually really excited about this defensive matchup. I think the defense matches up well, and I've said it before. Texas rush defense, one of the best in the country in the last 3 weeks, only allowing 2.4 yards per carry, 237 rushing yards allowed, and one rushing touchdown. That is elite. Gentlemen, I would read you the Football Outsider stats and the Pro Football Focus stats, but trust me when I tell you, they say the Texas defensive rush defense right now is elite. That's mostly because of the defensive line. And we know the tight end position is a very creative muse for Matt Campbell and Tom – and was it Tom Manning?
Yeah.
Tom Manning? Tom. It sounds weird to say Tom
Peyton's,
Manning.
Peyton's brother.
Cooper.
right? But the safeties for Texas, which have covered really well this year and been great, better in coverage than the corners, they match up well with those tight ends. So that doesn't worry me as much either. What worries me right now is Texas corners holding up on the outside because Xavier Hutchinson, those wideouts for Iowa State, are starting to play a little bit better. And they're going to come after those guys. I'll give you the cornerback numbers after the West Virginia game. I try to keep these as relevant and as current as I can. Opposing quarterbacks when targeting Texas corners are completing 63.4% of their passes for 7.5 yards per attempt. 14 explosive passes allowed. So every 6.6 targets at the Texas corners results in an explosive pass play. That's a 15-yard reception. And if you target the Texas corners, every 4.42 targets results in an explosive play, a PI, or a defensive holding. But here's the Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj size, but give Chris Ash props, gentlemen, because he has recognized, finally, my corners can't cover. And not only that, they can cover, they definitely can't cover playing bump and run and press coverage. So I looked at the stats. I looked at the first two games in conference play and the last two games in conference play. What percentage of the plays on defense are they playing press quarters coverage where they're basically playing that press man technique? How about this? 76 plays Texas defended against Texas Tech, and they also defended 76 against West Virginia. Do you know the percentage of bump and run versus Texas Tech?
It's going to be a lot less than it should have been. I know that.
What do you think, BK? Percentage of bump and run press coverage versus Texas Tech?
12%? Sure.
I'm going to say 20%. 20%.
You think they only played press coverage 20% of the time? They played 80% of the time.
Did they really?
80% of the snaps, they had a defender playing press coverage against
Texas Tech.
Did
they actually get the press in?
No.
Okay,
no.
So that's probably why BK and I had such low numbers.
Yeah, they allowed 8 explosive pass plays in that game, of course, 15 yards or more. Against West Virginia, gentlemen, you have a guess how many, what percentage of plays they played bump and run?
I'm not going to say 20.
West Virginia?
I'll say 40.
12.
Sticking with the guns. 57%.
Okay.
Dropping significantly. They only allowed one explosive pass play versus West Virginia.
Right.
So what's happening is they're giving up these little underneath routes, the curl routes, the hitches.
They're tackling better.
But they're coming up and tackling, and they're not giving up the big explosive pass play down the field. That is the biggest difference. They're living to fight another day. And when you have a rush defense that is making teams one-dimensional and not allowing you to beat them with the death of a thousand cuts, it does help. Schematically, strategically, it helps Chris Ash game plan around the fact that your corners can't cover. And he's also realized, you know, football is a game, and just like life, right? It is a constant struggle between what you want to be and what you need to be in order to survive. And he wants to be a press quarters defense, but he needs to back those corners to hell up because they can't cover that well.
Yeah.
All right?
Truly adjusting to your
personnel.
That's
adjusting. You ain't Ohio State right now, and you ain't what LSU was last year. And he's adjusted. And by the way, the corners have been performing better because of it.
Yeah. So, good stuff, Rod. Interesting numbers, and we also have to give Chris Ash some love. I think
give
we have
love,
on the
man.
Show, but
yep.
He has adjusted. That's what you want yep. coaches to do, to recognize your personnel, recognize your talent, and put them in the best spot.
No yep. doubt about that. Good stuff. Rod's rant of the day here on the Triple Option with RBKD. We'll give our final thoughts and our official picks for Texas-Iowa State coming up at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. When we come back, we've got off the record to Matthew McConaughey. We all love him. He's kind of an odd human being. We've got another example of that. Does anybody do this the way Matthew McConaughey does this? We'll discuss next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with my man Brad Kellner and Kevin Dunn. It is a holiday hump day edition of the Triple Option. We have it off the record here, but before we get to off the record, we have a very sad, somber story to inform the people about. The strength and conditioning coach for the Dallas Cowboys, who was hospitalized for, we actually don't know exactly the details of it, but he was hospitalized after collapsing yesterday, placed on life support after that, and we do believe he has passed. It has been reported that he has passed.
Yeah, the Cowboys have released a couple of statements confirming that Marcus Paul, who was rushed to the hospital yesterday morning after experiencing a medical emergency, has passed away. 54 years young.
Yeah.
Sucks, man. Absolutely sucks. Heartbreaking story out of Dallas. Our thoughts and prayers are with Marcus Paul's friends and family. And by all accounts, just checking social media and talking to some folks who cover the Cowboys, this was as nice of a dude as there was in the world. So say it all the time, man. Tell your peoples you love them. Hug them and kiss them, especially if you get the opportunity to see them this week for Thanksgiving or at some point coming up for Christmas or Hanukkah.
Wow.
Tell your peoples you love them because you just don't know. And this story would suck any day of the year, but the fact that it happens a couple of days before Thanksgiving probably makes it even tougher for his family. So crap news out of Dallas. Very unfortunate.
54,
thoughts and prayers for his family. Yeah, and he was a strength and conditioning coach, so you know he was in good shape. And he's a former player. Played for, what, 8-9 years in the league?
Mm-hmm. Is it that long?
Yeah, played for a while. Played with Ron Rivera. Played with him. With the Bears?
Yeah, would have been Bears.
With the Bears, yeah. So, and Bucky says he remembers him from college. I don't know. Damn. Bucky's old, though.
Man, Bucky's ancient.
Bucky's ancient. All right, so our thoughts and prayers with the Day family. That's a very, very sad. Paul family, excuse me, with Marcus Paul and obviously his loved ones dealing with that very sad, heartbreaking news. Okay, let's get to something a little bit more upbeat, gentlemen. This comes from our neck of the woods. The Minnesota culture, Matthew McConaughey, has been making the rounds, right? He recently even interviewed with my man Trey here during a couple of weeks ago, actually. He interviewed with Trey. You can go back and check it on the Books on Pod podcast with Trey, but he's got his Matthew McConaughey interview up there. But I don't know if they got into this specific category and this issue, but Matthew McConaughey is an open book, guys. He doesn't hide anything. And sometimes I think he's a little too much of an open book. He's a TMI kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to give you way more information than you actually wanted, which makes him a really good interview. And even the interview he did with Trey was really, really good. It's actually one of the best I've heard him do. He's been making the rounds. It's a really, really good one. So go check it out on the podcast page at hornfm.com or Books on Pod. Probably should follow him via Twitter. It's a really good follow. Well, Matthew McConaughey was asked about his grooming, his manscaping, if you will, his personal grooming habits, and he opened up about his nail trimming process and how deep he gets into trimming his own nails. Here's a quote, whether you want it or not. He said, "I'm an extremely talented fingernail clipper."
I've never heard anyone brag about that. I've heard people brag about their hearing. I mean, some of the craziest things, but
who knows if they're a talented fingernail clipper or not?
What does that even mean?
I don't know. He goes on to say, quote, "I'll get a headlamp on." He puts on like a
glasses and, like, a headlamp.
Yeah, like that means like the vibe. Because I got headlamp too. I take out the dogs at night and I wear like a little headlamp. It's like a little thing you wrap around your head, boom, turn the flashlight on. He wears that to do his nail trimming.
So he could also trim and then go mining.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff he can get done.
He says, quote, "I'll get a headlamp on, glasses, sit down with a cocktail, and have a nice 45-minute session."
Oh, my God.
It's very
relaxing. How many fingers does he have?
For some reason. He says 45 minutes, gentlemen. What kind of nails is he doing?
How many nails does he have? You've got 10 nails, right? 10 fingernails, 10 toenails.
Yeah.
So I guess 20 nails.
Yeah.
So he's spending 2+ minutes on each nail. If he's taking 45 minutes to cut his nails, he's spending more than 2 minutes on each nail. I mean, I cut my nails this morning. It probably took me a total of 2 minutes, guys.
I think it takes like 5. Well, for guys, because women it takes long, because women don't cut their own nails.
They get professionally done, right? Yeah.
But women are trying to shape and form them. Well, guys are just trying to cut them short and just keep it moving.
I'm trying to make
them. Do you file them?
No.
See, he files.
Okay, I file mine.
You file, so that takes longer.
But here's the thing.
How long does it take you then?
quickly.
Are we talking about toenails, too? Is this toenails and fingernails?
I think he's just talking fingernails.
I think he's just talking fingernail. I don't know if he's talking toenails.
He said he's an extremely talented fingernail clipper.
So he's just...
So 45 minutes per 10 nails.
That's 4.5 minutes.
For one nail?
For
are
one
you
nail.
Kidding me?
That is... He said it's relaxing for
How is that
him.
Relaxing? Plus, drinking a cocktail, I feel like, is counterintuitive to the nail clipping process.
Yeah.
His you want to be precise.
His 10th one isn't nearly as good as the first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, if he's spending 4.5 minutes per nail, he's getting drunker every single time. He cuts a nail.
Seriously.
And yeah, the 10th nail can't be as good as the first.
He's got some other stuff that he's inebriated with, too.
I do like the filing board. So, BK, at some point, you're going to have a female that lives in your place. She's going to live there before you actually know it's official. But you're going to find stuff like that.
I'll change the locks.
Yeah.
You're
going to find tampons, and that'll definitely, that's usually the last signal that I got a girlfriend and she's living here.
Going outside.
And, but you'll find the filing board. I remember the first one I found, and I thought, all right, you know, and she was like, you really should do that after you clip them.
You should.
I go, okay. And I did, and I thought, okay, that works. You know, the problem is I didn't buy a new one for like the next 4 or 5 years. So I wore mine down so much, and I finally went to like Randall's or H-E-B, and I had to ask some woman, I go, hey, you know the, and I didn't even know. I was like,
the filing,
you know, the board thing?
Mimic filing?
Yeah. I was like, where is that? She just shook her
Isn't
head.
It called a nail file?
Or emery board?
I think he's right. I think it's like an emery board.
I didn't realize there was a name for it.
I think there is a name for it.
I just put lotion on the dead skin, you know, to make it.
That's good.
Not as bad.
For the cuticle?
You're supposed to do
that. After I cut my nails, I just put lotion there instead of filing.
Do you guys push the cuticle back?
I don't do all that.
Okay.
But that's what they do when you get it professionally.
Yeah,
done.
I don't do it enough.
They cut the cuticle
and
push it back.
Yeah, it's on the very edge where you kind of push it back where the nail hits the skin.
Was it like foreskin for your fingers?
That's one way to look at it.
Are we to believe that Matthew McConaughey doesn't get manicures when it's not a
Bucky
pandemic
gets
going
manicures.
On? Yeah, so he's definitely getting manicures. How often is he cutting his own nails anyway? He's getting that done on a set or something.
But here's the thing. It sounds like he really likes Well, he obviously does. If you spend him 45 minutes and turning it into cocktail hour,
I guess,
with a headlamp.
With a headlamp on. That is just, that's wild.
We need to get a picture of you with that headlamp.
He's also high, too.
Well, there's that.
A cocktail. You mean a blunt.
Right. Well, the difference is it's the first cocktail of the day. Probably had a couple blunts by the time.
Yeah, come on.
I just always expect him to be high.
I mean, I do, too.
What do we think Camila thinks of this? His wife.
Camila?
Yeah.
Oh, she probably likes it. Because
she's got to watch the kids for 45 minutes while dude's cutting his nails?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
He's provided.
That's the way she likes that.
Yeah, but you know.
She gets one of the nannies to look at.
He makes like a big deal out of it. Like, it's like a big show. He's probably entertaining the kids while he's doing it, singing songs. This is Matthew McConaughey doing his nails. He's not like us.
You know, I don't see a red light when I lick my middle fingernail.
Exactly. He's like letting his kids do the filing. He's got all kind of weird stuff happening.
Yeah, I've never felt like Matthew McConaughey before, but I've never felt this unlike Matthew McConaughey with the fact that he cuts his nails for 45 minutes.
He likes that. He wants to be the only person in the world doing the stuff that he does.
I love some of the quotes.
He probably is.
He does.
The loud clicks of your overgrown finger keratin flying into the air probably do sound more soothing when paired with a calm and adult beverage.
Is that a real quote?
Yeah, it's a real quote. Oh, that's a real quote.
All right.
So there you go. There's your Matthew McConaughey story. Apparently, it takes him 45 minutes to cut his fingernails. He also calls himself an extremely talented fingernail clipper. He uses a headlamp, glasses, and a cocktail to cut his nails. Unreal.
We may not have anything, and we're going to give our picks and previews when we get back from this break, but we need to, let's all think of, is there one thing that you're really good at that's just so stupid and lame you've never told anyone?
Everything. All right, we'll get into that. Plus, give our picks for the football weekend up next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with my man Brad Keldner, my man Kevin Dunn. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse, Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01, and allegedly BK is at BK's burner in the Twitterverse.
Fake news.
T Texas basketball tips off tonight, gentlemen. As a matter of fact, in about 24 minutes, it'll tip off. Don't go anywhere. Matter of fact, right after the triple option is done, you'll be able to hear the pregame for Texas basketball's first game of the season. And I got to say, are you going? You're not going to the game, are you, BK? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you're often a – you go to these basketball games a lot back – well, back – pre-pandemic days,
yeah,
you were going to the games a lot.
Oh, when I was a student, I would go to pretty much every game, right?
Are you
even
planning
the random non-conference games against teams like UT Rio Grande Valley?
It's going to go be a good song.
So you're not going to go anytime this year at all? You're not going to try to go at all?
I'm going to try to go a lot this year.
Oh, you're actually going to try to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got to see if I can pull the media card. I got to talk to E. Hogan and make sure he was able to secure a press pass, which he's usually able to do, and I think I'm the only person here who likes going to the basketball games, so I never have any competition. Kansas is in town? Free ticket. Tech's in town? Free ticket.
That's true.
This year, hopefully we can because, yeah, there's a lot of talent coming to Austin. This Big 12 is absolutely loaded. It's going to be a fun college basketball season. Just knock on wood, hope and pray to whoever you believe in that we can start this thing and also finish this thing with an NCAA tournament come March.
Yeah, already moving around some games. Did get news that the Oklahoma-West Virginia game has been postponed. That broke earlier today, and recently it broke, well, not recently, it broke earlier today, probably during Trey and Chad, that the Ravens-Steelers game has also been moved from Thanksgiving to Sunday because of the Ravens' COVID issues they got going on. So
standalone games for the Cowboys and Texans.
Yeah,
just
baby.
What America wants,
yeah.
Baby.
Jeez.
How about
Texans
that?
And the Cowboys.
Texans, Lions,
like
Cowboys,
that.
Washington, four contenders squaring off tomorrow on Thanksgiving.
I got to tell you, I think the Texans are going to win tomorrow too. I'm starting to feel that.
I feel
way.
Like both of them probably
I think
will.
The Texans and the Cowboys are going to win, and that's be back-to-back weeks.
I wouldn't
the Cowboys
put my own money on it because of the teams that are playing, but if I had to pick, I'd pick them.
Yeah, and you know, it'll be tougher, I think, for the Texans, but the Lions are playing really bad at this point. Let's talk right now in Detroit
because
I still know people in Detroit, and actually. Yeah, I mean, and actually follow the team. And
is that like a humble brag, or is that a
self-no? It was just
that's,
like
that's
I actually,
an admission.
I actually did talk to somebody in Detroit. Usually I'm just listening to sports radio from that city, but I talked to somebody in Detroit, and Matt, if this wasn't a short week, there was talk that Matt Patricia would have been fired. If this wasn't a short week, they would have been already ousted.
I think if they lose tomorrow, he could be gone.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's how this game is for Matt Patricia. And you might be right, right? They might already be ready to move on from him, but I do think if they lose to Houston tomorrow, we could see that happen over the next week and a half.
That would put him at 4-7. Look, he walked into that place and tried to go to Belichick. And remember, he already started stuff with the media.
Yeah.
Be careful starting stuff with the media.
Ask Tom Herman about it.
Ask Trump. Ask anyone about it.
When Tom Herman first got here, remember that edict that he laid out with the media about leaks and you know, he's controlling the message. And I think it was mocked almost instantly right after that. They mocked it. And of course, I think I'm with you. Don't ever make an enemy of the media.
Yeah. And
I'm
not saying that's
them.
Right. You don't have to be friendly with them.
But don't make an enemy.
I wouldn't go after him.
I agree with that.
Well, that's why we're ruining the recruiting trail, right? We're purposely going after Tom.
Well, yeah,
because of those comments he made 4 years ago.
I'm DMing
so I'm personally,
these kids.
Yeah, DMing all of the kids, telling them not to come here. So.
When he told the families, like the parents, don't talk to the media. That's smart.
Yeah, I know.
Don't tell parents to do anything. Right?
Yeah,
their parents.
Yeah.
Don't tell them to do anything.
They're adults.
I've tried that; it does not work. Parents do not have to be told.
Be careful
what to do.
With that. Titans Colts is a game that I'm excited about this weekend.
Titans Colts,
and that was actually for our picks. We do the three of us have station picks as a show. And that was the only tough one, really, right?
Yeah, I don't really know where to lean on that one.
Tennessee is favored by 3.
Tennessee's a good team. The defense, I think, is their vulnerability. But, man, offensively, they can just control the game with Derrick Henry. Do such a great job of building that offense around what Ryan Tannehill does well. Now they're using Tannehill as a running threat, too, which makes the running game even more dangerous. So, I like the Colts defense. I love Colts defense. It is really good, man. I mean, it's a top-5 defense. It's legit. But I don't trust Phillip Rivers.
No.
I don't trust the Titans defense, and I don't trust Phillip Rivers. Which one do I trust less or more, I guess I should ask myself.
I distrust Philip Rivers less.
You trust him less?
Yeah.
So you're going Tennessee?
I'm going Tennessee on that.
Hey, Phil Rivers is coming off a pretty good performance.
He is. No, since I said he should be taken out back and shot, he's actually played okay.
Yeah, you literally tried to kill the guy.
His career, not
fantasy
him.
Fantasy football avatar, basically.
The resurrection of Phil Rivers.
Hey, he would be into that. He likes that kind of
stuff. Yeah,
he probably does.
Yeah, you know, these two teams played 2 weeks ago, guys. It's so rare that you see something like this happen where teams play each other twice this close together. And they played in Tennessee. I think all of us were kind of confident in Tennessee winning that football game. And not only did Indy win, they won in a blowout.
Yeah.
It was 34-17, the final score in that game. So I feel like these two teams are too evenly matched for either team to sweep the season series. But, man, with what I saw a couple of weeks ago, I feel like I have to lean Indy. I mean, they just looked so dominant, and they took away everything Tennessee tried to do. So I'm going to go with the Colts at home in that one.
No, it makes sense. I mean, if you're building it off, as you should, I mean, building it off the last last game, or which was, what, 2 weeks ago you said?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was really close, but I just feel like Indy with Phillip Rivers is going to be up, down. I picked them to win the division, and I'm sticking with that. But sticking with that, I should probably take
I was
going to
say,
this game.
I know, I got the same record right now, with only a few weeks left.
You still got some weeks left.
That's true.
Yeah. No, I think
he might not. You might kill him before that.
You had your wish.
Yeah. What about, Cowboys, Washington, you guys both going with Dallas tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get riding the emotional high, unfortunately, they'll also be dealing with the emotional ramifications of losing their strength and conditioning coach, a member of their football family, but also the high of the success they've had recently of last week getting that big win, and then before the week before that, playing the Steelers, you know, down to the wire. I think the Cowboys are playing their best football. I know they haven't played good football really all year, but it's their best football.
Best football.
So they're trending in the right direction, and yeah, I think Dallas is going to win.
I mean, look, there's just some individuals that looked a hell of a lot better. LVE looked like the old guy that he was. Zeke finally gets over 100 yards. Andy Dalton was good. I mean, we forget Andy Dalton.
Wide receivers.
Andy Dalton's a first-round loser, but that means you're still getting into the playoffs. and so with this matchup, considering what's going on in Washington, I'll take Dallas. They're favored by 3. I think that's probably right around there.
Andy Dalton had 75 passing yards in the first matchup between these two teams. And then he, of course, got hurt in the third quarter. The Cowboys, as a team, ended up with fewer than 100 yards passing in that game against Washington. That's the key, right? Can the Cowboys' offensive line protect Andy Dalton this time around? They had a great game against Minnesota. Yep. Zeke ran for 100 yards for the first time this season. Andy Dalton was able to stand back in comfortable, clean pockets and make some plays down the field. If Dallas can do that against a much better defensive line, right? Washington is not a better team than Minnesota, but they've got a better defensive line than Minnesota does. If they can at least hold their own and win some of those matchups against Washington, then they are going to win this football game. And you've got your Comeback Player of the Year award matchup, guys. Your two candidates with Alex Smith and Aldon Smith. I think Smith is going to win this one for sure.
Well done.
A. Smith is going to win this. Probably Alex Smith is going to win this award. But two of the coolest storylines in the NFL will be going up against each other tomorrow.
So he's actually played pretty well, too. But the second he came back, that one game, he didn't really do anything. But I came on that Monday and said he's going to win Comeback Player of the Year. Because it's too big of a story considering the injury that Alex Smith had. And it's also far-reaching where it talks of, I mean, really it gets into how far the medical community and rehab community has come. The fact that this guy is walking, much less playing.
Yeah. No, it was, I mean, there was talk of amputation.
Yeah, exactly.
The realistic talk of that. Like, he needs to amputate it before the infection spreads. I think even his wife was talking to him about, baby, amputate it so you don't have to threaten. Your life is not threatened by the infection. And he's like, nah, we're going to get through it. And now he's playing football again?
Yeah.
It's miraculous.
I think the guy's an idiot, to be honest. I mean, I don't make decisions for other people, but like the fact that he's playing right now seems ridiculous.
I agree.
I mean, it's an amazing story.
You can think he's an idiot, but you also admire it.
Of course, I admire the hell out of
him. You admire idiots.
He's a miraculous idiot.
I also think he's the stupidest person alive, bro. Like, if something like that, if half of that happened to me, I'd be done playing the sport forever.
Considering how much money he's made, too, what, $70 million or something?
I wouldn't even play it like Rec League. I wouldn't hang out with Brett Favre in a Wrangler jeans commercial, dude. I'm not messing with any of that. I'm never picking up a football ever again. And he's coming back and playing in the NFL, and he has played pretty well over the last few weeks. It's a great story, but, man, I feel like he's an idiot.
Yeah. I think BK, that's a great take, BK.
Oh, no,
that is a brilliant take, and I'm with you. It's a miracle, but why are you doing it? Why again to be the third-string quarterback of the Washington football team? Is that worth it?
Did he want to be a backup, or did he want to play?
He wanted to come back and play again. He wanted to prove that he could come back and play again. That's his. I think he'll retire after this year. I think he literally did it just to prove to himself he could do it. It was part of his rehab process.
I think it's admirable, and I think it was more to get that out of his head and like to get back on the horse. It doesn't mean you go ride horses every day after that, but get back on it.
It's conquering fear.
It's conquering fear is what it is.
Yeah, because fear would have won if he'd have not gone back and played football ever again, that now he'd have been paralyzed by that fear of being hurt. He's like, no fear of getting hurt. I played this game, you know, with courage, and I played it with a kind of a carefree spirit, and you want to continue that. But BK, I agree with you. I understand where KD's coming from.
Individually, I think we're all three there.
I understand.
And Rod, you played in the NFL, so you got more balls literally than me, but you got bigger balls than both of us.
No.
Hey, if you want to conquer your thirst, let's get to Miller Lite, because Miller Lite is the ultimate light beer. Only 96 calories. We're going to be tacking on a bunch of calories if you're doing it right this week and this weekend with all those leftovers. So make sure that you keep it light with the drink, but make sure that you enjoy the taste. It really all starts there. It could be a lot more than 96 calories, and guess what? I'd still be drinking Miller Lite. It does have more taste. It is less filling. Only one more calorie than Ultra. But at the end of the day, it's all about the taste. So go enjoy it. Enjoy it responsibly. It is the official beer for the University of Texas and the Dallas Cowboys. We're picking Texas and the Cowboys to win. Hopefully you can enjoy that win with a Miller Lite. But if things go sideways, you're really going to want the ultimate light beer, Miller Lite.
What about the Texans, guys? Rod B., I think you gave your pick. You're picking Houston in this game tomorrow up in Detroit. KD, you got a feel for this one. Houston is actually a 3-point favorite on the road tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, first off, Deshaun is finally, I listened to a national radio show last night, and
getting
he's finally starting to get some love.
Yeah.
And this guy does a quarterback segment every week. Said, you know what? I haven't had Deshaun high enough on this thing. And I think that's probably because we're local here, and so we end up watching the Texans. I don't blame someone nationally for not watching them. But he's been so good that that's going to be kind of my decider right there, with Houston being a 3-point favorite. But, I mean, obviously, with the Texans and the Cowboys, part of the problem is they've been ups, you know, more down. But even when they go up, they kind of go down a little bit. I'll take the Texans to win, though.
Rod, I think you had some of these numbers in your Texans Tuesday rant of the day yesterday, but over the last five games, Deshaun Watson, 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. His passer rating is above 116. He's completing 71% of his passes. I mean, he has just gotten
He's been amazing.
And he was great against a Bill Belichick-led defense without two of his favorite targets, right? Randall Cobb got hurt early in that game. Kenny Stills got hurt early in that game, and he was still able to pick up big yards through the air against New England last Sunday. Bad news for the Texans, though. Those two guys will not be there tomorrow, so they'll be a little bit shorthanded. Plus, Laremy Tunsil expected to be out again.
I forgot about that.
And actually, they have their best offensive line showing with Deshaun Watson as the starting quarterback without Laremy Tunsil. Amazing.
Glad you spent all that money.
Something we got to consider, though. I know we're up against it, and so I'll examine this and probably come back Monday with something. Do we have to start thinking about, in terms of perspective on Deshaun Watson and Texans, that Bill O'Brien, although he wasn't correct in the way he wanted to build the Texans going forward in the future, but maybe he was right about one thing, that DeAndre Hopkins was starting to kind of stunt the growth, Deshaun Watson. That was kind of his theory.
Yeah, it was his theory.
It was too much DeAndre. You're focusing too much on DeAndre Hopkins all the time, right? And even early in the season, didn't look like he was right. You know, right now, I'd tell you, maybe he was right about one thing, that DeAndre Hopkins was, that every time Deshaun Watson got in trouble, he looked for DeAndre Hopkins.
Too much of a safety net.
Instead of going through your progressions and going through your reads and actually making the right decision, you were always thinking before the snap, all right, where's DeAndre Hopkins? There he goes. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, because he's that good.
Yeah.
But that doesn't develop you as a quarterback. It doesn't necessarily mature you as a quarterback. That was his theory.
I think that's a fair point. I hadn't even thought about it. I forgot about it.
Yeah, I think he'd be balling out regardless. I mean, maybe you're right, because he doesn't have DeAndre, so it's more impressive that he's balling out like this. But I don't know. I don't know if it stunts the development or not, because I still think he was on track to be one of the best quarterbacks in football regardless. But, yeah, I guess it is more impressive.
I don't think we're ever going to know.
Yeah, but it's hard to know.
But I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
To where, and it's one of those maybe in 4 years you look back and go, because as we talk about progress not being linear or development, it's one that you could look back and say, man, or he could tell you, you know what? I actually needed that 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was pissed off. It got me out of my comfort zone. It took away a little safety valve, but I was good enough and I developed. I really started seeing the field differently.
Yeah.
And really going through those progressions.
That was his theory. And he wouldn't be wrong if he didn't trade Deshaun for pennies.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sorry,
right.
DeAndre for pennies.
DeAndre.
He wouldn't be totally not, but now he's wrong because you just didn't get value for your best player, arguably.
Second David Johnson's been a game changer.
Yeah, in the other direction. Bizarro game
He's
changer.
Been out pretty much every week. Yeah.
Which is
He's
no
changing
surprise.
Games. He's changing
it's
games.
No surprise.
Not playing. All right, guys, a little more than 3 minutes left in our final program of the week. Let's give the pick everybody's been waiting for. Texas versus UT Rio Grande Valley at the Flan.
Nice.
30 minutes from now. No, Texas, Iowa State. Kickoff Friday, 11 a.m. We'll have it for you here on the Horn. Pregame starting at 7 here on the Horn. We'll take you all day. Pregame, in-game, postgame coverage. We've got you covered.
Can't wait.
Final thoughts, guys. We kind of talked about it in Beat the Pluck. I think all of us are leading Texas.
Yeah. I mean, I think the matchup is good for them. And sometimes that'll change throughout the week. But more watching Iowa State, I made sure that I rewatched four of their games. And I didn't just watch the Kansas State game four times.
Great point.
And I think with both these teams, you have to be able to do that. It depends on which team shows up. I think you're going to get a good effort from both. As I talked about, both offensive lines are eh. Both quarterbacks haven't lived up to what they can. Both perimeter receivers, both sides, I think have left something on the table.
Yep.
But I like both defenses, and I think this is going to be a defensive-oriented game. I expect this to be a little bit more low-scoring. But, Rod, I like the way the Texas run six, the front six with yep. those safeties match up against a team that has really lived with Breece Hall. And the more you watch Iowa State, if you can stop those big boys and stop those big runs and tackle well, I think Texas wins this game. I think they will.
Yeah, I think it's a good matchup for Texas. I think they'll be well-rested. Tom Herman's great off of bye weeks, great in bowl games, and there'll be 20 days between the last time they played mm-hmm. and versus Iowa State, so they'll be as healthy as they've been all year long. I think that's really important. And I think the rushing game for Texas will improve because more Bijan Robinson, a healthier Bam Bam Sam. I think the passing game will improve because you'll have a Jordan Whittington and a Jake Smith out there. You'll have more of your weapons out there, hopefully on the field at the same time. Defensively, they continue to be one of the better rush defenses in the country. I don't know if they stop Breece Hall because he's the best running back maybe in the country right now. I mean, he's legit. But they definitely can contain him and force Brock Purdy to beat you. Same blueprint as you had with Oklahoma State.
I'm looking at history more for my pick than anything, guys. Texas 14-3 all-time against Iowa State. Iowa State only has one win here in Austin. Iowa State has never beaten Texas in back-to-back years. They, of course, got the better of the Longhorns last year. And also, every time Iowa State gets in this situation, they crumble. They fold. They come up short. I'm banking on that happening again. I like Texas by a field goal on Friday.
I'm not saying this is going to happen with Matt Campbell, but it's happened in my lifetime a lot when a coach you feel like is maybe looking at a bigger job and another job, and there's one open in Ann Arbor, which is one of the three that I've heard for the last 4 years that Matt Campbell wants, and that's either Ohio State, Notre Dame, or Michigan, that sometimes maybe not all that focus is there because Iowa State has separated themselves with their coaching.
Happened to Tom Herman in Houston.
You guys have a great Thanksgiving. I'm
too,
thankful
brother.
For
Happy
both of y'all. Thankful for all the listeners. And we will be back. We'll be back on Friday, 7 a.m. Make sure you listen to pregame, and then we'll have the watch party, and then obviously after postgame. For BK, for Rod, I'm Kevin. Y'all have a great and safe Thanksgiving. Peace, y'all.